All right, we're back here on the Medicare Funcast, and we have a special guest today. It's Kat Robinson. Hi, Kat.
Hi there. How are you this morning?
Oh, doing great. She is Arkansas's food historian. She's a road warrior, and you're based in Little Rock. You're a travel writer, host of the Emmy-nominated, that's impressive, documentary, Make Room for Pie, A Delicious Slice of the Natural State. You're a committee member for the Arkansas Food Hall of Fame, the author of 101 Things to Eat in Arkansas. I keep that in my car, my vehicle. 101 Things to Eat in Arkansas Before You Die, and 102 Things to Eat in Arkansas Before You Die, right?
That's right.
And the A to Z of Eating in the Natural State, and we're going to talk a lot about the Great American Pie Book.
And yes. This one
oh,
right
there
here?
It is. Oh, I'm getting hungry already. I mean, I could keep talking about you here. You've published in so many national and regional magazines. You write food and travel subjects throughout the United States. You're best known for things here in Arkansas, but you also do national things. You have 1,200 articles on your website, and that's tiedyetravels.com, mm-hmm. right?
That's right.
And you're the road warrior. People know you by your hats. And you're the nickname Road Warrior, Traveling Pie Lady, the girl in the hat, and you've been in all 75 counties in Arkansas,
yes.
usually peeking out behind the kitchen or a menu or something like that. And we kind of share a same background. You've been in radio and television here in Arkansas for many years, and the list goes on. And so welcome, Kat. It's an honor to have you on the Medicare Funcast this morning.
It's wonderful to be here.
And again, I'll spare you talking about Medicare. That's in the first part of the show. So the second part of the show, we talk about pop culture, and I do interviews and music and all kinds of fun things. So you're the fun person here. We're going to obviously talk about a lot of food this morning.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes. I mean, Arkansas has so much to offer whenever it comes to cuisine. We are a fantastic state. A lot of folks just assume we offer the same southern food as everybody else, but we actually have 6 food micro-regions across the state of Arkansas. The dishes that you get that are traditional to the Arkansas Ozarks is going to be different from the Delta or LA, you know, Lower Arkansas.
Sure. Lower Arkansas.
Lower Arkansas.
Yeah.
We have so much to offer, whether it's a fine barbecue or exemplary steaks. Of course, we are tied to chicken in quite a many ways, or going back to our history of wild game, our indigenous fruits, vegetables, and nuts like gourds and pecans. And I mean, we are one of those rare states where if you cut us off at all of the borders, we would do just fine. We have everything you need
to have
a wonderful meal here any season of the year. It's just fantastic.
And let's talk about your new book. You have the
yes.
great Arkansas Pie Book. Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
I'm getting hungry already. So tell us about how this book came about.
This is my 12th book, and I've written 2 other books that are based on pie. My very first book was Arkansas Pie, A Delicious Slice of the Natural State, and it was a collection of essays about the people who make pie. It tied directly into and inspired Make Room for Pie, which is the documentary we were talking about earlier, which is available to watch at any time at pbs.org. Just type in Make Room for Pie, mm-hmm. and you can watch it. When that documentary came out, what most people don't know is right before it, my first book was taken out of print by the first publisher I worked with. So I had to scramble over the course of 10 weeks to create a second one. And that book is Another Slice of Arkansas Pie. It has 475 different places to find pie in the state of Arkansas. It was a massive undertaking. So the one complaint I've heard over the years, people love the books, they're like, well, where are the recipes? There's 13 recipes in the first book. There's 33 in the second, but those books aren't cookbooks. So whenever it came time to sit down and really dive into working on whatever my project was going to be, I decided to take a deep dive, a 6-month dive, looking into everything I could think of about how pie had developed here in Arkansas and the recipes that tie it all together. And that's where I came up with the Great Arkansas Pie Book. I wanted to create an omnibus of the pies that we eat, not just the pies that you find in our restaurants, but the ones that defined our very food culture. I mean, different pies dating back as far as the 17th century and going forward. And I found so many different links to why we are so closely associated with pie, and not just one sort of pie, but all of the pies. Through the book, I concentrated on looking for historical resources, sure, but I also looked through more than 500 different church and community cookbooks that I actually maintain a collection of different books, all created here in the state of Arkansas before the year 2000, to see what I could find and see where the corollaries were. And I reached out to my friends, both the home chefs that I know that do remarkable things for the dinner table, and professional chefs from some of our greatest restaurants. And I was so surprised and delighted by how many people wanted to contribute. In total, there's 248 recipes in this book. Some of them were so good and so historical in nature, I didn't even do a conversion. You can see the original card that a recipe was written on. Say, for fantastic. Instance, there's one here just in the crust section that this is my partner's mother's recipe on the original index card. I wanted to take and show this is a part of the history of this. Or there's snippets from different books here, scraps of paper that I found recipes on. I wanted to create something that was really going to cover everything that we did. And not just sweet pies, but a whole selection of savory pies. And then pies that are named the craziest names out there, or defy convention, or that make your eyebrows go up and you go, what? And I've tried every single one of them. That's right. And that's it covers everything from how to make a crust with a variety of different ingredients, including doing a gluten-free pie crust, or making one with lard or butter or vegetable shortening or margarine, or making something that is vegan for those people there that don't want to have any sort of animal product in what they make, all plant-based. It became not just a mission, but a whole lot of fun. Once I got past the research, I took about 100 of those recipes and I went to the Writer's Colony at Dairy Hollow up near Eureka Springs, which has the only North American suite dedicated particularly to culinary writers. Fantastic and huge kitchen with all of the bells and whistles. So I had everything I needed to work with. Over the course of 2 weeks, starting with the day after Christmas last year, I made 50 different pies for the book. A lot of trial and error. I went back in February and did 2 more weeks and came up with 45 more than I wanted to include. So whenever you see this book, know not only did I try the recipes by tasting them, but I tried making them myself, including the one you see on the front cover, which is ambiguous for a reason. I wanted people to see what they could come up with the ugly pie I made myself. This is rustic. I really got into learning more about how I like to make pie crust in the process. In fact, I gained 6 pounds in muscle just from all of the rolling out of dough and stuff that I did. Right. The first time I've ever gained weight writing a book, I actually went to my doctor and went, I don't understand. I was practicing moderation. It's crazy. And it's like, are you having a hard time fitting in your shirts? I said, only in the sleeves. And she goes, there's your answer. So this pie that you see right here is an Ozark grape pie. And the inside of it is this wonderful deep purple. You can use any pie or any grape that you want in this pie recipe. But whenever I made mine, I made it with Concord grapes. So as you see right there, the inside is beautiful. It is, it's even brighter before you put it in the pie crust and cover it up. Just a marvelous pie that originates from the Arkansas Ozarks, and a version of which is still served today at the Altus Grape Festival, which is held every August in Altus, Arkansas, where these are used as a pie eating contest pie. So crazy and wonderful.
There you go. Now, what's the most unusual pie you have in the book?
That? Well, there's unusual and then there's unknown. Now, a lot of people would say that the vinegar pie that is in here, and I have two different versions of it, sounds weird. It is a subsistence era pie. It dates back to at least the Civil War. Okay. The reason I have two variations on it is because one comes from that that famous book, The Art of Cooking in Heber Springs, we should all know about. And the other one comes from a book called Vinegar Pie and Chicken Bread, A Woman's Diary of Life in the Rural South. So you've got a 19th century pie and a 20th century pie, and they look a bit different, but they are based on the idea of we want something that has the tang that you would get with a citrus product, but you don't have any lemons or oranges because you live in a time with no refrigeration. Whenever getting a citrus fruit in Arkansas was a lot harder affair. Either they weren't in season or the train did not bring some in, or you're just poor and you can't afford one.
That's right.
Vinegar provided this acidic touch that reminded you of tang of a nice bite of lemon, but it's available in a pie. More recent versions and crazy things. I've got a recipe for a green tomato pie. And up until recently, I had not encountered green tomato pie outside of family gatherings. But one of the top pies at this year's Root Cafe Pie Off was a green tomato pie. And it was excellent. And it's a sweet pie. On the other hand, in my savory section, I have the Bradley County pink tomato pie, which is a savory pie. And it's just even better when you top it with bacon.
Bacon is good with everything.
Yes. This is my partner's favorite pie right here. You don't have to put the bacon on, but it only enhances it. It's got all the lovely qualities that you would enjoy in a BLT. No lettuce, mind you. You could put that on the side.
Oh, okay. That's all right.
And this is a dinner pie. It's great. And then, of course, there is the recipe for the famous Company's Coming Pie, which was the pie of the Arkansas Sesquicentennial. This pie was created at the Cliff House Inn up just south of Jasper, Arkansas. I've got a variety of, you see, this looks like it's cream, and it is a cream. It's a pineapple cream. It's put into a crust made of meringue and saltine crackers. Nowhere else can you get this pie on a restaurant menu than whenever the Cliff House Inn restaurant is open, and it's a seasonal restaurant.
Oh, and the Cliff House it's just a beautiful view up there.
It's beautiful. Okay. It's fantastic. And this pie is so sweet, it'll make your teeth hurt. But man, in moderation, you just take that bite.
Right.
It tastes like a cloud, and you're sitting amongst the clouds looking across the Arkansas Grand Canyon.
It's wonderful. Oh, the Jasper area is just beautiful. Yeah,
it is
one of my favorites.
Extraordinary. Yeah.
And so I'm curious about the basket behind you. What do you have in the basket behind you there?
Oh, I people hand me baskets and stuff. I actually used this this weekend. It had a picnic in it, and I just haven't taken it in the house yet. I'm constantly traveling. It doesn't matter where I am in the state of Arkansas. I always feel like home. And sometimes, though, I want to go out somewhere where there's not a restaurant. And I've made up mushroom pies recently, which I have a recipe for that's my own particular recipe that is in the book. You can make it with any pie crust that you want to. My version of a mushroom pie, though, is based on a 14th century pie, which this is a bit of the food nerd in me. This is the pie in question. It is a savory pie with mushrooms, onions. Your cheese is a choice. I used mozzarella and Parmesan this time, just very simple. Garlic, some Worcestershire sauce, and olive oil, and put it in a pie crust. And it makes a delectable pie. It doesn't have meat in it, but it tastes like it does. And it's a main course. So being able to go out like that and have something to dine on with my family and enjoy the last vestiges of color in the leaves in a beautiful Arkansas autumn was a great opportunity. And I'll be traveling more this week. In fact, I have a big book signing event that I'll be doing this coming Sunday in El Dorado, where I will be at Gourmet to Go offering pie samples and talking about my books from 1 until 5. And then I will be off to Fort Smith for a bit. I will be back up to North Central Arkansas, where I was here just a couple weeks ago. I've got a couple of appointments that are going to be down in the Texarkana area after that. Staying busy is important to me because it gives me more opportunities to go out and see what's going on in the Arkansas food community and collect more information that I can then disperse through storytelling, articles, and of course, books throughout the natural state.
And is everything, your travel itinerary, posted on tiedyetravels.com, or where do we find that?
Tie-Dye Travels has a little pull-down menu item where you can see what appearances I have set up.
Okay.
But usually whenever I'm traveling in advance, I leave it anonymous. So I have the opportunity to walk into a restaurant without them expecting me, because
that's
the
right.
last thing I want to do whenever I am checking out a restaurant for a story or I'm doing a scout session for one of the major magazines or networks that I work with.
Yes.
I want to eat the same food that everybody else does. I don't want to have something on my plate that's not on the menu per se. I mean, mind you, I've got friends that I want to try those items. Maybe they want to see, hey, I'm considering putting this on my menu. Would you see if it's worthy? Well, that's one thing. But I want to give the authentic story of Arkansas food, foodways, and restaurants to the readers that
sure.
That follow me. So I do put the public appearances out there. I will let you know that I will be at the Arkansas Farm Bureau Convention coming up here very soon. I'll have a booth on the showcase floor. So if you're looking for Christmas presents, that's a great place for me.
There you go.
And then this coming January, I'll be at the Arkansas Grown Conference, which gives me an opportunity not just to peddle my wares, but that's fantastic opportunities to relate person to person with the farmers that produce our food at the one time of year, being in the winter, that they are not up to their ears and making sure crops are going into or coming out of the fields. That gives a great chance to see, hey, what are they seeing? And also sitting down with them and talking about their family connections and the recipes that are most important to their traditions.
Now, Kat, you've become so well known. Is it really difficult for you to sneak into a restaurant with your hat and everything? I mean,
sometimes it is. There's a restaurant that you definitely need to check out in Russellville called Ridgewood Brothers Barbecue.
Okay.
And it does not matter if I am disguised or not. I can walk through the door. Somebody will see me and they shout my name out just like Norm on Cheers. It's crazy. Yeah. But there are some places that I am concerned. I don't want to have an unbiased review. So
yes.
I will go in. I do have disguises. I do have wigs. But I don't share those whenever I'm doing public interviews,
sure.
because then, you know, it's all blown.
That's right.
But usually whenever I'm traveling, especially if it's just casual traveling while I'm trying to put my ear to the ground and see what's going on. Yeah, I wear clothes similar to this because this is what I wear every day. I know the word authentic has been used a lot for a lot of different things, but this is who I am. I am exactly the same person that you're going to see on TV. There's no airs here. I want
yes.
to be, I want people to feel comfortable speaking to me, because to me, it's not about me being famous. It's about sharing these, sharing the stories, recording
Absolutely.
What's going on, and preserving our foodways. The famed Southern
right.
food writer John T. Edge has actually introduced me to other people and says, "This is Kat Robinson. She preaches the gospel of Arkansas food," and it is as close to a job description than anything else in my world. It covers whenever I decide to write a book or an article or produce a documentary like Arkansas Dairy Bars that I did here a few years ago. This is me on social media. This is me out in the public. I want to stay approachable because I don't feel that there is a place for elitism in foodways.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
I mean,
yes.
We all eat. We all eat.
And let's, you're talking about dairy bars. Let's segue
yes.
to your Arkansas Dairy Bar book.
Yes, I have a copy of that with me this morning, too.
There it is. And I tell you what, that's another one that I keep in any of my vehicles, my truck or my little Kia, when I'm out cruising around Arkansas. And if you could tell us a little bit about that, and actually, what is a dairy bar? What's the definition of a dairy bar?
A dairy bar is a restaurant that serves ice cream and something other than ice cream. Because if it just served ice cream, it'd be an ice cream stand.
That's right.
It's a location where you can walk up to a window and you can order without going in. But it's not a food truck. You have to make that determination because the food truck scene has really exploded, which is fantastic. I love it. And there are actually dairy bar food trucks now, like the Shake Shack, which came out of Marion. They now have a location in Mona, and they have a Shake Shack food truck. Don't say that too fast.
That's right.
Back in 2000, when the pandemic came through and everything shut down, the restaurants weren't available for me to go into and write about. I shifted over to writing cookbooks. But I was itching to get back on the scene. And in January of 2021, I was delivering books down in Hot Springs with my partner. And on the way back, I'm like, man, I wonder if Mel's Dairy Bar is still open in Malvern. Because I remember going there years and years ago, and I love their caramel shakes. I'd love to get one. So we go check it out. And not only is it still in operation, but it was packed to
That's
the
great.
Point where
That's
I had to
great.
Park across the street.
Yes.
The next morning I woke up and I go and talk to Grav and I say, hey, what if I did a book on dairy bars? He goes, you absolutely should do this. And so I immediately got on the road. That very day I went to the Yellow Jacket down in Sheridan, which is a very classic dairy bar. Yeah. I love that place. They've got some wonderful fried pies, ice cream, and burgers. So, you know, they tick all the boxes. And I set myself on a quest and I searched and researched and spent a lot of time looking through Google Maps and picking up the phone and calling police departments. I know that sounds crazy, but
calling the police,
the police on a non-emergency number and saying, hey, where would you eat in your town?
Oh, there you go.
I'm telling you,
that's brilliant.
The emergency services folks know the best place to get everything.
Right.
So I did this and made up an itinerary and I drove all over the state. Well, I'm about a month and a half into my research on the book and I get a call from Arkansas PBS. We had talked before the pandemic about doing a documentary that was going to be very farm to fork based. And they said, hey, let's do it. And I'm like, here in a little bit, sure, but right now, right at this minute, I'm working on another book. They asked, well, what book is it? I'm doing a book on dairy bars. And they're like, hey, that sounds great. Let's do a documentary on it. Can you get it back to us in 10 weeks? And I didn't even think about it. I said, yes, because I had several production companies that had shown an interest in working with me. The problem was, I'm in the middle of a pandemic and what production companies are out there, everybody was booked. So I had to face the crazy decision, come back and say, no, I can't do it, or do it myself. And I'm stubborn. And I have a bit of a background in television from my 8 years working as a morning show producer for THV in Little Rock and 3 years at KAIT in Jonesboro. I can pull this off, right?
Sure.
So I hired a cinematographer and we went it. We spent 3 weeks shooting and I spent 6 weeks editing together Arkansas Dairy Bars. I got my friend Rob McCormick with some guy named Rob out of Russellville to do the theme song and a lot of the music. And really, there's about five people total that worked on it. But for the majority, I conjured it, I wrote it, I edited it, and then I went right back to writing the book to finish so it could be a premium for the show. And it is the most complete book you're ever going to find on dairy bars. Even though we've lost a few since then, I can honestly say this book has, at the time it was published, every single one of our 98 dairy bars in the state of Arkansas. And it's laid out regionally. So each of the regions, I even learned how to make appropriate maps so you can find
you
each
go.
Of these dairy
yes.
bars. And it lists all of the dairy bars in that particular region. It's set up so that you've got the part of the Ozarks, or well, the Arkansas River Valley that is on the western edge, the Ozarks, the north central section of the state, which is also the Ozarks, Upper Delta, Lower Delta, Lower Arkansas, the Ouachitas, and then Central Arkansas. So you could pretty much go and use this book to visit every dairy bar in the state, with a few exceptions. Places like the Susie Q in Rogers, or the Dairy Dream in Mountainburg are seasonal restaurants, and so they're not open, and it's indicated in here. I do always suggest with any of my books, this 101, 102, Another Slice of Arkansas Pie, if you're intending on visiting these locations, it's always good to give them a call before you go just to make sure they're in operation. Anything can happen, and not just seasonality. You know, you can have one day there's a water main break nearby, or the power is out, or heaven forbid there's a family emergency. And I've had people say, well, it was closed. Well, it's like, well, did you call first just to check and make sure?
Right.
But this is the omnibus, and I talk about all sorts of amazing dairy bars all across the state of Arkansas. Of course, as with all of my books, it is in full color. I took all of these pictures, and I did my own layout. It's to tell people I'm the full package because I'm a bit of a control freak, and I want it to look
perfect. Oh, you do a great job. Your video and your book are just fantastic. I send that to out-of-town friends of mine that are coming to Arkansas. I also recommend that to people that live in Arkansas. So whether if you're in Arkansas or you're traveling through Arkansas, really, you got to get that. I mean, you may gain a few pounds while you're out traveling, but hey, that's, you know, you could go work out and run it off.
Everything in moderation.
That's right.
You know, and share that banana split.
That's right. You need the comfort food, especially in these times now. You really need to go out and take a road trip, get some comfort food. And I also love the architecture of these little dairy bars, because quite often maybe they were a true drive-in back in the 50s or 60s. They still, you know, when they had car hops, a lot of them are still remnants of that. And you have a lot of times great neon signs and maybe Art Deco architecture or something.
I talk about a lot of that in the book, too, with a lot of the historical pictures of different dairy bars that are, you know, have come and gone, and the different chains that go along here. Because you can see the architecture even when a restaurant has become something else, or in some cases they become family homes, in some cases they've become government offices. It's crazy, but you can go take a look at a building and you see that two window walk up, that history that's there. There's such a nostalgia both about dairy bars that are here and those that have passed on. And I am so ever thankful that I had the opportunity and have been able to create a lifestyle where I can get out and I can go and see all these fantastic.
What a fun job, Kat. That's just a blast. I think the closest dairy bar to us where I live would be the Salem Dairy Bar. And then we're fairly close to Hot Springs with Bailey's and King Cone and places like that.
Oh, yeah. And you've got you also have the Frosty Treat in Hot Springs, and then the famous Dairyette over in Mount Ida. I mean, every direction you go in the state of Arkansas, you are within a 50-mile radius of a good dairy bar. I mean, mind you, there's not a dairy bar in every county, but there is definitely a host of dairy bars in every region, and they managed to hang on. While other restaurants had a hard time during the pandemic, restaurants flourished because you couldn't sit down in a dining room, but you could definitely walk up to a window. You had that separation, and it sparked this nostalgia. People wanted to get that old time feel. Dairy bars really, they started to become a thing in the 1920s and 30s, and they continued to grow. The height of their popularity really would be the 50s through the 80s. But you don't see a huge drop off once the ones that survived made it past the year 2000. You have places that have developed so that they're larger than that. I mean, if you go look at the Bulldog restaurant up in Bald Knob, world famous for their strawberry shortcake. You've got something that started off as just a traditional dairy bar with the windows. They now have a drive-through, and they have a huge dining room because they are the heart of their community. This is the place that sports teams come and they celebrate after a win. This is a place where travelers who are taking 67 up to all the points in Northeast Arkansas have to make a stop, whether they're going to Jonesboro, they're trying to go to Batesville. You have to drop in there. And so they've not only expanded, they've thrived through all these times. Dairy bars are just it's a unique part of Americana. Yes, you do find them in other states, but here we really have done a lot to see them grow and to support them well. I love that.
And I love just going into some of the places, and you meet such nice people. Arkansans are such nice and sweet people, and they take you in. I you know, you come in, and they don't know me from Adam, and I'll go to a place like Mount Ida or something, and you sit down, and you're making friends within a couple
minutes.
And you have the locals that maybe go there every day for lunch, and everybody knows their name, and it's great. And especially, I tell, you know, my out-of-town friends coming into Arkansas, there's a lot of people moving here. Arkansas has finally been discovered by, you know, the country now. A lot of people moving here. So definitely, I mean, your books, they need to be in your vehicle, in your car. Keep them with you as like your travel Bible. You know, it's great.
It is part of the goal. I believe firmly in the idea that all boats rise with the tide. I have some history working with Arkansas Tourism, and the focus really had been for many years, let's get people to our attractions because they'll put heads in beds, they'll stay overnight. Well, for every hotel night, you've got 2 to 3 meals that somebody is going to take during the day. Sure. If you can get people interested, conversely, in coming into the into Arkansas restaurants to try a crazy dish or to have a fantastic dining experience, and you've pulled that person from outside, chances are they're going to end up with their head in the bed. It all pumps more money into the local economy. Everything from going to a local attraction in between these things to the gas station where they manage to fill their tank while they're in the state. Every bit of it is part of a tourism economy. Restaurants and tourism go hand in hand in that manner.
They sure do, Kat.
But at the same time, they're also the heart of a community. It's like with the dairy bars. So many of them are named after the local high school mascot. And the reason why is that's it is historical for generations. After you get out of school, whenever you're a teenager, you get your first set of wheels, where do you go cruise to? The local dairy bar.
That's right. Absolutely. Like American Graffiti, right? Yeah.
Yes, very much so. Yeah. I think maybe that needs to be standard viewing in our high school classrooms. Like, understand why we are making those connections. The money in your pocket, if it stays in your community, will just continue to generate. So if you can get a couple dollars after all that local tourist that comes in to see what you got to offer, that just means more. That's going to circulate in your local community, and it's going to help keep businesses going. It's going to keep families afloat. It's going to keep food on the table.
And Kat, that's how I kind of grew up. I grew up in Phoenix and Dallas, and we've lived here about 20 years. But my dad was a salesman, and he traveled all over Arizona and Texas. And we always went to the local, what he called them, the hole in the wall places, where you would pull up to a place, there might have been dogs sitting there, and you'd have to step over the dogs to go into the screen door to get into the restaurant, and it was half falling down. But those places had the best food, and they had character. They weren't a franchise. So I think, like you're talking about nostalgia, I think people are looking for nostalgia, a unique place that looks unique, unique characters and local people hanging out in the dairy bar or the restaurant. And those places are just so much fun.
You find some fantastic places like that across the state, like the to-go place in Warren, Arkansas, which county seat of Bradley County. You have to go to Molly's Diner. Yeah, the floors are uneven. It's in an old general store looking building. Every inch of the walls is covered. If it's not a sign for what kind of pie that they have, it's some old folksy saying. It's a historical picture. When you walk in, you feel like you have just traveled back in time. And the menu reflects that. They have meat and threes that changed by the day. You know, there's a list of what side dishes are available. And man, their caramel apple pie is extraordinary. Oh. Or you can walk in the door at Oinkies up in Paragould on the north side. And
I love that name.
It feels like an old style barbecue restaurant. And then you go in, and while the dining room is tiny, it once again, these wood clad walls that have started to stain over time from the wood smoke and the fantastic different barbecue dishes that you can get with pork. You can get some fried wings, but the people that are sitting at the tables, you know, they have t-shirts from the local high school, or they're wearing John Deere baseball caps. Right. They look like people that you would see in the community anywhere. And here's this place. You just step into it. It's right out of time. Oinkies looks like the same kind of shop that I would have walked into with my folks back in the 1970s, except for they've now replaced the menu board behind the counter with an electronic monitor. So it's a little incongruous, but it's like, a little bit. Wow, it has updated quite a bit. And it's phenomenal that we managed to keep these places going, but it's important to have that sense of place. Like going into Hog Pen Barbecue south of Osceola, from the road, it does not look like much. You can tell that this was one building that another building was added to, and then there's a section that's leaned into. You go in, the chairs don't match. There's calendars on the wall from ages past alongside family pictures. But you sit down, you order their half a smoked chicken. It is the juiciest smoked chicken I've ever had in my life. And you strike up a conversation. You find out you know someone at the next table. And somebody over here knows your uncle or knows your second cousin. Right. I love Arkansas because this happens to me again and again. It's just like being home, no matter where you go.
And they're genuine people, too. They're just
great
people.
They really are.
Oh, what's the place in? Is Duval's Bluff the Craig's? Is that what?
Oh, barbecue? Craig's Brother.
Isn't it great?
Yeah. Craig's Brother Barbecue Cafe was started up right after the Civil War. The Craig's worked on riverboats, and that sounds crazy. They worked on barges and boats during the war, and afterwards they came back, and the brothers founded this barbecue joint, and it has stood the test of time, and you still walk into it. It has two entrances because there was a point in time whenever white folks and colored folks, and please, I am not trying to be racist. This is literally what the signs would say.
That's how it was.
You had separate entrances. And once we got past that era, they just took down the divider in the middle.
Interesting.
There's not much that has changed. And their barbecue sauce has this flavor to it. I swear it's cinnamon or nutmeg or something that nobody else has. But the crazy bit about Craig's is that on a clear day, you can smell it from the interstate and it's 2 miles away. I can smell a good day, a good clear day where there's a light wind. I can smell Craig's barbecue when I'm coming in from Hazen. I know whenever they're smoking
because it's
tempting and it just draws you right in. Now, Miss Mary, who owned the pie shop across the street that was in her garage, she has passed, but the family has gone ahead and they work in cooperation and do make pies you can pick up at Craig Brothers, or on days it's open, you can go around the corner, go down US 70, take a right on 33, and on the left, you'll find Miss Lena's pies, which Viv Barnhill still runs. And man, they're so good. You've got to have that coconut meringue pie. It is fantastic. As you can tell, you know, if it's pie in Arkansas, I have my thumb in it.
and that's what I'm sure you're the same way. I love going down the old highways because 70 is, you know, the old highway or before the interstate. 40 was built, everybody went down 70, and I just love going there because you'll see the old gas stations and the old restaurants and the great little towns out there like Carlisle and different places like that. And
this is where
in Arkansas, I guess the road less traveled, you're going to find so many really cool places.
Schedule some extra time when you're heading someplace. I mean, we all are in a rush these days to head here and here and here. And that's what the interstates have done. I mean, to think whenever I went to college, the speed limit was 55 on those interstates. And now it's 75. Mm-hmm. And you just take off and you go. And while there is value in getting somewhere quick, you know, you want to go see family, you've got business to take care of. When you have that extra time, get out on the side roads. Every one of our interstates has a corollary U.S. highway that runs alongside it. So if you're going to Fort Smith, you can take Highway 64 that's right by the interstate, or go and get on the other side of the river and go and take Highway 22, or go down a bit further and take Highway 10 out of West Little Rock, and you're eventually going to end up in Greenwood, which is going to connect you to U.S. 71, and you can go right up into Fort Smith.
Highway 10 is gorgeous. What a gorgeous
My goodness. And the largest chicken fried steak I have found in the entire state of Arkansas is on there. If you go to this place called Magazine, it is the community that is just south of Mount Magazine.
Yes.
There's a place called Mel's Highway 10 Cafe. And I tell you what, there's this, I ordered the country fried steak, had no idea how big it was. And it's, you know, they say things are big as your head. No, it's about, I'm not That's kidding. Crazy. It is this big.
Yes.
And share it with a friend because I had to take that home. That was four meals. It was like,
four meals.
Goodness gracious. And even where there's not interstates, there's ways to get to great food communities and just dine your way all the way across. And, you know, when you're talking about Mount Ida, and automatically the Dairyette comes to mind. The Mount Ida Cafe is a fantastic breakfast spot. But to get there, you go past some of the amazing places, including at Royal, the state's largest cinnamon rolls. Those are as big as my head, which are great, but they also have a smokehouse, and they're using smoke primarily to season their meats. So you can go in there and you can get some pastrami or some bacon or some ham or turkey. Burl's Country Smokehouse at Royal. It's wonderful. And then you go a little bit further down the road and you go stop at the Shangri-La Cafe for pie. However, they had their last day of business here just recently because they're also seasonal, but now they're opening in February instead of April. So you don't have to wait as long. In the meantime, you could go and have a magnificent high-class dinner at the Mountain Harbor Inn restaurant, or, you know, dilly on your way down there to Mount Ida and then go on across to Mena. And Mena's got a whole new bursting food scene that's coming online there and has Myers Cruisers, another famous dairy bar. Then you go up to Queen Wilhelmina State Park. Their restaurant has come a long way, and I have enjoyed every meal I've taken there since the renovation with some of the most breathtaking views you're ever going to experience.
Yeah, they've done a great job renovating that area up there. Just incredible. And a beautiful drive from Mena up there. And I love these towns like Mena that are restoring the downtown areas and historic buildings. It's just, I love stuff like that.
You could spend an entire day in Mena. When you go and make time to go to the Susie Q ice cream parlor. That's different from the Susie Q malt shop is in Rogers, but the Susie Q ice cream parlor, oh my gosh, they make the best affogato, which, that sounds a bit food snobbish, but it's espresso.
What is that?
And it is espresso with a scoop of ice cream in it. And I'm telling you, it's amazing. And you can eat it while swinging on a two-person bench swing in the middle of the restaurant. It's crazy, but I love it. They've got some good Italian there and some good Mexican there. They have the little Ouachita Theater. If there's a production, it's cozy. It's in a restored downtown theater. And of course, you have to go to the Skyline Cafe, which is one of the state's oldest restaurants. It did get hit by a tornado a few years back, but people brought back when they found like the fans that were overhead and the pictures that were hanging up in the restaurant, the community brought the pieces back so that they could be restored into the original space as the restoration teams came through. And I tell you what, their corned beef hash that they pull by hand is an experience. Whether you get it for dinner or you get it for breakfast, you got to try it. It's so good.
Well, Kat, before I let you go, please tell everybody where we can find your great videos and books and everything.
You can find Arkansas Dairy Bar's Neat Eats and Cool Treats, Make Room for Pie, and Home Cooking with Kat and Friends all at pbs.org. You can also find any of my books, lots of booksellers around the state. Primarily, you can go to Wordsworth Books up in the Heights and Little Rock, any of the Green Corner store locations. You can go to Arkansas State Parks here and there. They are available all over the place. If you want signed copies, you can go to TontiPress.com. That's TontiPress.com and order through the links there. Any of my books that are still in print, I'm happy to sign them and send them at the same price you're going to pay if you go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Walmart. You will see them in some Walmarts across the state. I'm very fortunate. I've had great support, and people say, how do you manage to get all this in? I'm like, but this is my day job. whenever right. I left producing THV this morning in Little Rock back in 2007, I started creating a career from scratch. It's like throwing spaghetti at the wall. I'm very blessed that I can do that. And as always, check out my socials. You can look me up on Facebook at facebook.com/tiedyetravels or on Instagram. I'm tiedyecat. That's cat with a K. If you have questions, I mean, I am used to having people tag me in a Facebook post or send me a random message saying, I'm in this city. Where should I eat? And usually I can come up with something. That's what all the travel's for.
Now, Kat, where do you get your hats? Where do you buy your hats?
This one in particular is from the Hot Spring Hat Company. It is a Charlie One Horse hat. This hat is well over a year old. And as you see, mind you, I put the poinsettia in myself, but it is a very high quality hat. I've kind of progressed as I've done better. I've managed to work my way up, but my past four hats have come from the Hot Spring Hat Company. They're all still in really good condition. They do. They can teach you how to block your hat. They can block it for you if you need to. You know, you say you got it wet and you left it on a funky surface, or you shoved your hat in your luggage and it came out looking weird. They have great customer service, and it's weird. I'm doing a commercial for these. I don't take advertisement for these people. That's just fine. Love their That's hats.
Yes. Well, I sure appreciate you being on the Medicare Funcast today. Yeah. It's been really great.
It's so
I hope
cool
to have you back again, Kat.
You sure will. We'll have plenty to talk about, especially because the next book, number 13. You know, I'm considering doing barbecue, and there's so much more to talk about just there.
Oh, Kat, before I let you go, after the interview, I'm headed out to Morrilton. Any suggestions?
Morrilton. Oh, my goodness. Morrilton has so much going on. So you have the Atkinson's Blue Diamond Cafe, which is a dairy bar, but it also has a great dining room.
Okay.
And try one of the sundaes. They're constantly changing the sundaes that they make. There's always something good. They also do great fried pickles. Or if you go up to the next exit up, you can go to the Morrilton Drive-In Restaurant, which their menu is so big. They have it on boards that are above and to the sides and to the bottom of the order window, and there's still always some sort of special. Try the side wander fries. They're great. They have a great tall burger. Just down the road, there is Yesterday's, which is a bar and grill that just get the appetizer plate. Their appetizer plate, which it's not very expensive. It is like it's 12 inches across, and it's just packed with all sorts of things. And then there's Punjabi Dhaba, which is an Indian restaurant that went into the former Mom and Pop's Waffle Station, and some of the best Indian food in the state. I kid you not. Strangely enough, the very humble bread pakora, I've never had it anywhere else. It is, if you like Thanksgiving dressing, and I know that sounds like a really weird correlation, you're going to love this Indian dish. And they do a really neat sweet bread and chai. And I mean, Morrilton's got so much. And then you're right, hop, skip, and a jump over from Petty G Mountain, which Mather Lodge has a really, really cool restaurant that's open for all three meals every day. So,
beautiful view.
And there's one I've got to check out. The Bucket List Cafe is on the north side of town, and it's on my I have to visit very soon. So, I don't know yet, but every time I've gone by it, the parking lot's been full. That's a great sign.
All right. Thank you so much, Kat.
Thanks for watching the Medicare Funcast with Brian Kulis. Make sure that you like, share, and subscribe. It's been fun. We'll see you next time.